Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. It's 2021. We've got all new theme music. We're kicking it off, as usual, with Kristen Pahacek. Today's episode is brought to you by 1UP Web, Subtle Strauss, and Answer Connect. Today, human contact is more important than ever, so make sure a live person is answering your phone each and every time. Answer Connect makes this happen for franchises every day with a team of professional customer service experts ready to impress your callers around the clock. Answer Connect works with many different franchises and small businesses who need 24/7, 365 phone coverage, lead intake, appointment scheduled, or basic messages. They integrate with many of today's CRMs, which is just one more thing off your plate and one more opportunity for you to work on your business. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234, or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. Okay, today we're talking about some marketing structure within your franchise system. And joining us once again to kick off the year is Kristen Pahacek. She's the Chief Growth Officer at Massage Lux. Hey, Kristen, how are you?
Hi, Jack. Happy 2021. I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, you know, now that it's 2021, all of our troubles are behind us because we just blamed everything on 2020. So now everything's perfect, right?
Exactly. New year, new us, new everything. Bring it on.
But, you know, maybe one of the things that we can make, not really perfect, but a little closer to perfect, is taking a look at that marketing department and getting the right people in the right roles. And maybe before we even start thinking about people, thinking about the roles within a marketing department. I know you wrote a terrific piece for the IFA recently on structuring that marketing department. So I really wanted to take kind of a deep dive with you about that structure today.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. In your intro, you mentioned working on your business. And I think that's, you know, it's really a good focus. So many times we talk about working in the business, right? In the day-to-day, the tactical setup of whatever you're doing as a marketing department or as a business. And this topic in how to structure your marketing department based on the size of your franchise, it really is about working on your business in order to make sure that you're set up the right way for the future and not getting tied into the day-to-day of the business.
Yeah. And what I think really helps here is your experience in the past few years, first working with self-esteem brands where you had a big giant brand with thousands of locations, and then you had kind of a medium-sized brand and an emerging brand as well. So you've really kind of seen from the inside what works and what doesn't. And now with Massage Lux, you're doing not just consumer marketing, but you're also doing franchise development there as well, right?
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, in my experience, I've had, you know, the big marketing teams of 40 people wide, all within their own specialty, but have also worked on marketing teams with that one person shop, that unicorn, the elusive unicorn, I'll call it, that our emerging franchise friends are searching for. So through that, it's been really great to see what, and to learn what positions you should be seeking at what growth stage in your franchise in order to set yourself up for success.
Well, let's start small. Let's start at that initial stage. I think you really look at that that early stage as 1 to 20 units or so, right?
Yeah, you know, and this is going to be different based on the industry that you're in and what you're trying to do as a franchise, and in some cases, even your franchisees and their willingness or even need to market heavily, right? A home services brand may need to market a little bit different than a brick and mortar retail brand. And therefore, you know, the unit size that would dictate the staffing may vary based on that. But in general, if I were to put an emerging tag on this recommendation. I'd say anywhere from 1 to 20 units. When you're looking at staffing your marketing team, you really are looking for that one person who knows a little about a lot of things, right? It's almost like this player and coach mentality where you need someone who can roll up their sleeves and put together a plan, but also roll up their sleeves a little further and actually execute that plan. So you need someone who can play both parts.
It feels like there are more people like that than there were even 10 years ago. And I don't know if that's just due to changes in the economy or more marketing people getting involved in more areas of marketing. Do you see that too, that there are more people who are that utility player that you're looking for?
Yeah, I think that's a really good note. And I tend to agree with that note. I think another reason that we could be seeing more of that is just the accessibility of self-learning, right? And the ability that we have to learn and to teach ourselves about different emerging technologies and marketing strategies. And it's because of that, that our breadth of knowledge is a little wider than it was 15 years ago.
Where do you see, and we're going to talk a lot about outsourcing through all of these stages today too, but
yeah.
I would assume if there's one person, even at a tiny, tiny startup emerging brand that maybe only has one location already or something like that, do you see a lot of need for outsourcing of various marketing activities, whether it's advertising or social media or other things? Where does that come into play at this really early stage?
Absolutely. It's crucial at the early stage because that one person isn't going to have the specialty knowledge that it takes in order to run the full marketing operation. So not only is it a priority for you to find somebody who can stand up strategy and can execute some of that strategy, but you also need to find somebody who has very strong communication skills and relationship building skills, because that person's role is going to be to tie together internal strategy alongside partnership execution, which is no easy task. It is difficult to manage a partner in franchising and in business in general, because your role is to make sure that they understand what the overall organization's goals are and that they're leaning up to those goals.
And I'm going to throw something in here too that I think could possibly help some of our supplier friends and marketing agencies out there. One of the things that we run into a lot in franchising, especially with this, working with a one person marketing department or maybe a two person marketing department, there seems to be some people who don't utilize that vendor or supplier as a partner and a someone you can rely on, but sometimes they feel a little threatened, right, by that marketing agency, that they could come in and make their job obsolete or make their job not so relevant anymore and just take over all of the work. How can suppliers kind of get past that and make the marketing folks more comfortable? And what should marketing people within that department, especially if you're a marketing person of one, what can they do to just sort of stop that before it gets out of hand?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I do agree with you that this is something that needs to be at top of mind in regards to the partnership approach. Partners succeed when the people that they are servicing succeed, right? So as long as you are providing a superior service and keeping that relationship intact with trust and communication, they shouldn't have to worry about the person who, especially an emerging brand, a person who is managing them taking over that responsibility. The responsibilities of an emerging brand and a marketing organization are going to continually increase. And therefore, the opportunity to take things away from partners is going to become more difficult because the brand hopefully is growing and getting busier. On the client side, on the franchisor side, again, when the supplier or the partner is doing a good job, that helps make your job easier and helps you to succeed. So it's mutually beneficial for both parties to make each other as successful as possible.
That's a good way to look at it. I love that. And also a quick note for suppliers, make the client look and feel good at all times. That's like the key to everything here is show them that, you know, we're all rowing in the same direction. So love that idea. Before we move on to the next sort of phase of growth, any final thoughts when we're talking about that early stage, those really truly emerging brands, either on the consumer marketing or the franchise marketing side, like where do you spend more time or put more resources, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'm a big believer in small and large franchises that successful franchise units sell more franchises. I'm going to repeat it. Successful franchise units sell more franchises. It does not mean that this elusive unicorn doesn't spend any time on franchise marketing. They absolutely should. And if I were to throw it at a wall, I'd say probably 20% of their role towards franchise lead generation and 80% towards consumer marketing in the early stages. But you need to remember that that 80% towards consumer marketing, that is selling franchises as well, because marketing is all about making your current franchisees more profitable. And as you brainstorm and execute on strategies in doing that, you're actually boosting up your franchise opportunity business at the same time.
Ah, excellent. That is, I think that's the new title of this podcast episode. I think I'm going to have to change that. So thanks for that. And we're going to come back to that question about consumer marketing and how it works with franchise marketing when we get to some of the later stages of growth. But let's move to sort of the next stage. Where do you see the structure of this marketing department going after you hit, let's say it's 20 units or so? What's the next logical step?
Yeah, so there is going to be a point where your lone marketer comes to the business and says, I can't do this all anymore. It's too much, regardless of how many partnerships you have in place. This is going to look different for every business, but there is going to be a point in your business where you say, okay, we need some help. And digital is where I would point you to in that regard. So you hire somebody who can kind of pitch hit in all areas of digital marketing, especially in franchising, because it's so heavy on local marketing. And local marketing, there are so many efficiencies to digital. You're going to want to hire somebody who can coach the franchisees, teach the franchisees, and execute on behalf of the franchisees how to do digital correctly. So knowledge in social media, some advertising, website, SEO, graphic design, that's where I'd point you to. And even if this person isn't actually doing the executing, you have partnerships and agencies in place, especially at this stage, they can kind of talk the talk with the agencies and help with that franchisee support enough where you were going to go farther than you were previously with just one person on the team.
I like that idea of having someone who's very knowledgeable in the digital space, and maybe maybe at that point you've got the strategy person is, you know, I don't know if you want to call them a CMO yet, or maybe it's a VP of marketing, but then having somebody who they can really rely on for the digital stuff, and also be that point of contact and that point of coordination with whatever suppliers you're working with on the marketing side too.
Yep, exactly. And the franchisees, because at this point you've got 20 plus units. Those franchisees come knocking on your door about how to add a Facebook admin and how to navigate Instagram. And you're going to need somebody boots on the ground who knows enough to be able to coach them on that, because that lone marketer who you started with is going to be busy setting up strategy and handling higher level escalations.
And maybe getting 20 phone calls a day from 20 franchisees. That can actually fill up a day pretty quickly too.
Two phone calls from a franchisee can fill up your day.
You know, and one other thing, while we're still in sort of this middle stage of growth, 20 plus units or whatever that number is, you know, it could be different for different brands out there. Something that I've been thinking a lot about lately too is not all 20 unit systems are the same when it comes to marketing in that local area? Because, you know, if you've got a professional services company or something like that, where it's a one man or two man show out there at each location, that might be a pretty small marketing spend. They might not have the same need. Well, they might have the same need, but they probably don't have the same budget as, you know, a bigger brick and mortar or a restaurant or something like that. And I think too often people in franchising look at different sizes of franchises totally based on the number of units and not really what that local marketing need can be.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The other thing that plays into this is whether or not it's a B2C or B2B brand, right? That would dictate what you need at the marketing level. So although we talk about, oh, do this if it's 20 units or under and do this if it's 20 units or over, right? You have to take a unique look at your business and what your business is demanding and cater it towards what you need.
Where do you see the need for local marketing personnel? And it could be a freelancer, it could be a part-time person, it could be an assistant manager. Where do you see that really coming into play? Is it at that 20 plus units size, or does the number of units not really matter? It's really more about the local unit economics.
You know, I think it's the latter. I think it's about the local unit economics. So many things come into play, whether or not your units are owned by multi-unit franchise or single unit franchisees, whether or not you have a co-op marketing structure in place. If you are executing co-ops, the need for somebody focused specifically on local marketing is going to be much greater than if you aren't executing co-ops, if you're allowing franchisees to spend on their own locally, or like at Massage Lux, we spend those local dollars on behalf of our franchisees. So we are the ones who are executing the majority of digital local marketing on their behalf. So all franchises are set up differently. I like the idea of local marketing managers. I am a fan of co-ops, but that usually comes at later growth stages. If I had to put a number on it, I'd say 200 to 300 locations before you really effectively running co-ops in markets, because you have to have enough locations in a specific market in order to actually form that co-op and start to do those larger buys.
We'll be back with more of our conversation with Kristen right after this word from Subtle Strauss. Subtle Strauss eliminates the franchisor marketing busy work of redundant customizations while protecting brand standards by giving franchisees self-service access to customize, print, download, and mail brand right collateral for their local markets from one central online portal. They offer franchises scalable solutions for managing their marketing collateral, direct mail, promotional products, and signage needs. Growing brands like Goldfish Swim School, Christian Brothers Automotive, and Topper's Pizza have saved thousands of dollars and have been able to run their marketing programs with a small graphic design staff by leaning on Subtle Strauss as a strategic marketing partner. You can get a free demo or download some case studies at subtlestrauss.com/franchise. Now we're at 200 locations, or maybe it's a different number for you. But what does that team structure look like once you're this national brand, 200 plus locations in most states? Let's talk about how to structure that department.
Yeah, so this is when you start to specialize, and it doesn't mean that you get rid of partners. In fact, you may have more partners at this stage than you've ever had before. Mm-hmm. But the specialties within your marketing organization are working alongside those partners in order to strengthen the strategy and communicate organizational goals. The way that you specialize is going to look different based on what your current marketing org looks like. So this is the point where you start to ask the people in your marketing organization, where are your passions? What direction do you want to go? And based off of those answers, along with the partnership makeup that you have for your organization, you can start to form something unique to your brand. Most commonly, I would recommend different specializations in digital marketing, in campaign management. These are the brand folks who are setting up national promotions, making sure brand integrity stays intact, etc. You could have a creative department made up of perhaps a creative director, some graphic designers, motion graphic specialists, videographers. Most often, large marketing organizations have some sort of consumer research or insights department. Those are the folks that are hyper-focused on consumer data and advocate on behalf of the consumers' wants, needs, desires, more of a segmented or segmentation-focused department. Social media is sometimes broken out in digital. And then the marketing leadership team made up of marketing VPs or the CMO.
Do you have sort of a set size where a brand really needs to have a real chief marketing officer, maybe not someone just in title, but someone who is really part of the executive team that oversees marketing, and it's not being spun up through sales or operations or some other department? Do you see a certain level where that needs to happen?
You know, I'm hesitant to put a unit size on that question because I do think that it's very largely based on the business and how the business uses marketing to drive results. But I think that when the leadership team says, how do we use marketing to drive results? At that point is the time to bring in a higher level marketing executive to help paint that story for you, because marketing at that level becomes a lot more around business planning, strategy, financial planning, projections than about putting out a Facebook post, right?
Yeah. They're really serving the growth of the business, not just taking care of items for the other departments.
Yep, exactly. Or just answering franchisee questions, right?
Got it. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, and this is very controversial. So, hey, it's 2021. Why not throw in? I see a lot of marketing departments in franchising right now, especially at some of the bigger systems, that are not working, shall we say, they're not playing well in the sandbox with the franchise development team. And even to the point where the fran dev team has its own marketing person or marketing people, and not working together with the consumer marketing or the brand marketing people. I see that as a trend over the past couple of years. And I'm a little worried about that. Do you see that happening? And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm no stranger to the politics that large organizations can bring. So I definitely understand how this could happen. But personally, I'm not a huge fan. Every business is different, and maybe it works in your business. And if it does, awesome. But what I would say is it is crucially important that the consumer marketing for your brand has a close tie-in to the franchise marketing for your brand. Your brand's purpose should not change from consumer to franchise marketing. For example, at Massage Luxe, the purpose is around health and wellness, right? We want to make our members, our prospects, our customers as healthy as possible. Well, in franchising, our purpose is to find people who want to make our prospects, customers, and members as healthy as possible. That message does not change, right? The application of the message and the verbiage around the message absolutely changes, but the purpose remains the same. And if you start to separate out your franchise and consumer marketing, you're going to find yourself in a brand disconnect that is going to be a tangled web you're going to have to unweave later. You don't want to have to do that. So if you're in a scenario where you have a franchise marketer underneath the franchise development team, fine. It is what it is. But you better make sure that that person is closely aligned to the overall marketing strategy, or you're going to end up with a mess.
And as you said earlier in this podcast, great local marketing sells more franchises. I don't think we can stress that enough. A few other sort of hot topics for this year that I wanted to address with you briefly. Where do you see the need for outsourcing to suppliers, vendors, other types of partners. Where do you see that happening in 2021 here in this, you know, still in the pandemic or maybe post-pandemic world? Do you see more of that happening due to the pandemic, or do you think people are going to bring more folks in-house over the next year? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I'm inclined to say outside of the pandemic that I think that more franchisors are going to be looking for help. Number one, in the digital space with the cookie-less future ahead of us, I think that it's going to have us really evaluating how we are going to approach our digital marketing, because let's face it, as franchisors and as just modern day marketers, we're heavily reliant on digital and on cookie-based targeting, which, you know, in the next year is going to be gone. And we're going to need partners, subject matter experts to help us direct in that. The second place I think that you're going to see a lot more searching for assistance in is around brand marketing and consumer experience. I think that because we've been so heavily reliant on digital, it's getting a little crowded. So we're really going to have to think and go back to some traditional marketing roots, but with digital application, as to how to stand out and break through some of the clutter and noise.
Yeah, a lot more clutter and noise coming our way in 2021, I feel. So standing out and rising above the noise is probably going to be priority number one. Kristen, I know you have a great piece on this that you wrote for the IFA. I assume it's available at franchise.org. And I would also assume we could see it on Facebook and LinkedIn and some other places that the IFA has.
Absolutely. You can find me on LinkedIn, and the piece is up on the IFA website.
Excellent. And while we're there on the IFA website, we should mention that the IFA 2021 convention is happening. It's a virtual conference happening in February of this year. Kristen, you and I have been briefly involved in this so far with the IFA marketing team, getting some things ready for the show. Anything that you're really looking forward to at this year's convention, or any other thoughts on the IFA convention?
Yeah, you know, they're separating out the IFA convention a little bit differently this year so that you're not sitting in front of a screen for full days at a time.
Hallelujah.
yeah, exactly. So I'm really looking forward to the format this year. What about you, Jack? What are you looking forward to?
I'm just looking forward to Seth Godin speaking, because
I knew it.
You know, of course. You know, I'm a fan. I'm a disciple. And as I said to you a couple of weeks ago, the only way IFA was going to top Gary Vee or Simon Sinek, which they've had for the past 2 years, was to get Seth. And they went out and did it. So kudos to the IFA team for doing that. I will be in the virtual front row for that one.
And I'll be by your side. I'm excited.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for being here. Here's to a great 2021, and we will talk to you again very soon.
Thanks for having me.
Before we go, a quick word from 1UP Web, a site I'm recommending to all marketers, especially those working with franchise brands. Is 1upweb.com/franchise. Lots of free franchise marketing resources like an SEO audit template, a guide to Google local listings for franchise businesses, and more. My favorite is 1UpWeb's new franchise marketing playbook. It's a guide for franchisors to support their marketing efforts at all levels of a system, including specific tips for working with franchisees and some post-COVID insights. 1UpWeb is an enterprise digital marketing agency and AOR for many great franchises with over 20 years of digital marketing experience. Learn more at 1upweb.com/franchise. And thanks for listening to Social Geek. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. On the Social Geek Radio Network.